Amen. Never will forget that night. He said, unto my people Israel, I showed them my power. But as for my servant Moses, I showed him my ways. Will you learn my ways? That's what God's saying to his people today. It's what he's showing and speaking and asking of his people today, to learn his ways. The children of Israel were unlearned in the ways of the Lord. They were the children of God. They had been called of God, but they did not know God. And God called Moses to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, out from under the bondage of Pharaoh. And with signs and wonders, he brought the people out of Egypt. But it was to Moses that he showed the people God's ways. It was to Moses he showed his ways, and Moses taught those ways. There are many people today that are the children of God in bondage in the house of Pharaoh in the world today. And they do not know God. And God is raising up a people today, and has always raised up a people, and will continue to raise up a people until his return. And to these people, he will show them his ways. And they will go forth in the power of God to lead the children of God out of bondage. Out of the bondage of sin. Out of the bondage of selfishness. Out of the bondage of rebellion. Out of the bondage of fear. Out of the bondage of doubt. For the children of God have no fear when they know their God. The children of God have no fear when they know their God. Boy, I wish you'd hear that. I wish you could hear that. Lord, I wish they had ears that they could hear and understand. The children of God have no fear when they know their God. Because perfect love cast out fear. And God gives perfect love. He gives perfect love to those who will serve him. Those who will look upon him. He gives perfect love. And when that perfect love comes upon a man, comes upon a woman, there is no room in them for fear. Only room for faith in the living God. Amen. Let's sing that song again. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ezra. Ezra was a scribe. Ezra was a scribe. The Word of God refers and says Ezra was perfectly prepared as a scribe. Perfectly prepared as a scribe. He had learned the Word of God, and he knew what the Word of God said. And the Bible says that Ezra set his heart to believe God, and set his heart and trained his heart to know and do the Word of God. I read that in the Scriptures, and it hit me. It hit me. He trained his heart to know the Word of God. He trained his heart to do the will of God. And God did the rest. Lord God did the rest. And took the king over all of Babylon and changed his heart. And had the king give letters to Ezra, giving a decree that Ezra was to go forth in the name of the heavenly God, the God of Israel, and take as many as he would with him to go to inquire of God in Israel, in Jerusalem, and to do sacrifice, and to take all of the gold and the silver that he could find on the way. To take all of the gold and silver that he could find along the way to glorify God. And in the letter and the decree demanded and commanded that all the kings and princes of his territories and of his land, not one of them would put a tax upon or to burden nor to hold up in any way Ezra or all of his servants that went to serve the Lord God. And Ezra went before the Lord and thanked God that God had put it in the king's heart that he would have this freedom to serve God. And then he said that his faith and his power came from the hand of the Lord upon him. The hand of the Lord was upon Ezra because Ezra trained his heart to serve God. I think that's something missing in the church today. I think that's something a lot of people miss today. They wait for God to do a thing. They wait for God to move a certain way, and all the time God is waiting for them to be where they're supposed to be. Ezra trained his heart. I look at that word trained, and I see that in order to train a man, you have to exercise a man. You have to exercise him. Ezra exercised himself in obedience to the Lord. He exercised himself in faith. He exercised. Spiritually, he exercised. Now, you can look at me and tell that I'm not one that takes great pleasure in physical exercise. I read Paul's letters when he said one time, physical exercise profiteth little. I said, amen, hallelujah, I love to hear that. Physical exercise profiteth little. But godliness profiteth, I can't say the word, profiteth unto all. What was it he said? Good things and life eternal and something like good stuff. Good stuff. I look around the world today and the emphasis that's being put on health food and on exercise and on the perfect body and all this kind of stuff. And it's self-glorification is what it is. It's self-glorification. There's a spirit that's been growing in the country and growing in the world, and it's gotten stronger and stronger and stronger until today. Everybody you see, everywhere you go, there's health clubs and there's gyms and there's this and there's that. People glorifying themselves and glorifying their bodies instead of glorifying God. Let me ask you a question. What is greater, the tent or those that are in the tent before God? What is greater before God? The tent? This tabernacle here, or the people in this tabernacle? The people in the tabernacle. What is greater? this tabernacle that is here for a season and gone? Or the soul that lives within this tabernacle that will live forever? Then why is it ye as Pharisees and as the scribes glorified the gold of the altar rather than the altar that sanctifieth the gold? Amen. Amen. You won't pat me on the back, I'll do it myself. Hallelujah. But it's the truth. You go out here and these churches today and you look around the world and there's Christianity today and they've got the emphasis on the wrong thing. The emphasis is on the building or on the body. It's not on the Spirit. It's not on the Spirit. Woman at the well said to Jesus, Lord, where should the true worshipers worship? In that mountain or in Jerusalem? For our fathers say in the mountain of Sinai, and your people say over in Jerusalem. Jesus said, woman, you know not what you worship nor why. He went on to say that, verily I say unto thee, the true worshipers of God, the true worshipers of God will worship Him in spirit and in truth, for God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The building isn't the thing. The clothes aren't the thing. It's what's inside. That's what God died for. The soul. The spirit of man. And that man, the woman who trains themselves to hear the Word of God and to obey the Word of God, that is the man or woman that God is going to put His Spirit on. He's going to put His hand upon them and He's going to make kings recognize it. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Could you even barely imagine Brother George getting a letter from the President of the United States saying that he is to go forth somewhere, let's say Orlando, Florida. And he was to go forth in Orlando, Florida, and there set up a revival, and that he was to take all the money from that he could take, and that nobody could tax him for it. Nobody, the IRS had to keep their hands off of him. That any income he brought in or any monies that he came in, they were forbidden, the IRS would be forbidden to touch him. Could you imagine it? What was it we read the other day? Huh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Boy, when you look at the IRS, you scratch your head and say, I wonder. Now, come on, Lord. I mean, I got faith, but, you know, you're stretching it there, Lord. Lord, I didn't have a problem with moving that mountain, man, but, man, you're talking about IRS here now. Come on. Oh, if you love the Lord, say praise God. Truth of the matter is, nothing's too hard for our God. And if George or Ralph or Bill or Warren or any one of you were to train your heart to serve God and obey Him and to do all that His commandments say to do, God would be on your hand, His hand would be on you, and the day would come when you probably would get that letter from the President of the United States. Boy, wouldn't that be a thing? Wouldn't that be a thing? Think of the work that you could do if God could get through the heart of our government. My. Think of the work that could be done. And all it takes is one man to train his heart to serve God. I look around me today and I've heard people talking, And I look and I see people trying to serve God backwards. It's like the Lord's over here and you're saying, yeah, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming, Lord. I'll be there shortly. But, you know, I just got to take one last look at the world, Lord. And you're trying to serve God without even looking at Him. Because their eyes are on the things of the world. I read in my Bible not too long ago, over in Numbers, where after God had executed judgment on, Korah. Had executed judgment on Korah. The people of Israel came back. And what was it? They said, you have taken us from a land flowing with milk and honey. They looked at Egypt as a land flowing with milk and honey. My God, where were these people's memory? They were in bondage there. They were in bondage. They had the yoke of Pharaoh upon them. And God brought them out. And yet, they got all they could see is good in the land of Egypt. And that's the way the children of God are today. God pulls us out of the world. And the first time our faith is tried, the first time we're started to be tested to serve God, we look back at the world and say, oh, how good it was. Did you bring me out of there to die? Well, yeah. I guess He did. He brought you out of there to die to that thing so that you could live to Him. To live to Him in power and in might. In the power of His Word. In the might of His Spirit. The Lord God Almighty. The I Am. Jesus. Amen. I want to sing a song. What do I want to sing? Let's do Amazing Grace. Regular one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I still like that song. I always have liked it. I think I always will like it. Amen. I want to do another one. I want to do Learning to Lean. I haven't done that in a while. Peter. Hallelujah. Did you notice, though, when I said, Scott, you're standing up high there. Did you notice when I said, let's learn to walk? And I said, let's everybody get up and walk around the tent. You notice how people started going all different kind of directions, you know, and just started wandering. Huh? Did you notice that? Huh? Did you see something spiritual in that, huh? Did you see something spiritual? And that's kind of the way that you are in the Lord, you see. The Lord clearly shows you the way. And you end up just going all different kinds of ways. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I do believe that what I did is say, let's get up and walk around the tent. Is that what I did? And yet some headed off that way, and some went that way, and some just kind of wandering any old way. You know? And it's the why does that happen? Why does that happen? It's because we don't pay attention. We have eyes, but we don't see. We have ears, but we do not listen. We see it and we hear it, but we don't pay attention. Amen. And I'm saying, Lord, why are they all going different directions? He said, that's the way they do it anyway. The Lord can teach us things. A little something like, let's walk around the tent, learning to walk. And when you see the different people going in different directions, you say, my God, that's what the condition of the church is in today. That's the condition of the church. Amen. But let's not let it be our condition. Let's not let it be our condition. Let's learn to listen to the Lord. learn to acknowledge His word and do it exactly as it says. And you know what? What will happen is you're going to find yourself going in a different direction than the mainstream Christians today. You're going to find yourself going in a different direction. And you know what else? A lot of them are going to get unhappy about it. A lot of them are going to get mad. A lot of them are going to say you're wrong. But you know what? God's going to put His hand on you. And if He puts His hand on you, you're going to be strengthened with might in the inner man. And you're going to have power to do what they can't do. Because to serve God is to please God. To serve God is not to serve man. It's to serve God. If you be a minister of the Lord, if you be a called of the Lord, if you be elect of the Lord, you're not called or elected to serve mankind. You're not called to serve or please people. You're called to serve and please the living God. Amen. And by serving and pleasing the living God, you make yourself a servant to others. To serve them? No. To serve Him. Amen. That means you might not have some of the things others have. But what you have will be greater than what others have. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I want to sing another song. What do you got? About the Eagle song. That's a good song. How many people in here know God's a healer? That God is still in the business of healing through His people today. Amen. I was in prayer earlier. In fact, it started yesterday. And I just kept getting the same thing over and over and over again. That tonight, and I was praying again this evening and this afternoon, that tonight the Lord's going to heal people with eyesight problems. How many people in here we got with eyesight problems? Raise your hand. All right, how many of those people believe God is capable of healing eyesight problems? Amen? All right. I want all of you people with eyesight problems to come stand in a row right over here. Just form a line. Lord, I trust in You, and I believe in You. And Your power today is as great as it was 2,000 years ago. You healed the blind then, and You'll heal the blind now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, everybody say in the name of Jesus. I want all you with eyesight problems, put your hand over your eyes. Just one hand over your eyes and lift the other to the Lord. Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to as many as will reach out with their heart unto You, to believe You and to trust You in the name of Jesus, even now, in the name of Jesus, I say be healed to these people right now. Let Your ministering spirit come through and touch them, Lord, and heal their eyesight in the name of Jesus. 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 feet in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke spirit of blindness and infirmity in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command that these eyes be touched and healed in the name of Jesus by the power of His might. I rebuke blindness. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. I rebuke the spirit of doubt in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I receive thy sight. Take your hands off your eyes. We sang a song. We just sang it. They that wait upon the Lord, that is to serve the Lord. It doesn't mean sit off in a corner and wait. It means to serve the Lord. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall mount up. They will go up over top of the circumstances. They will overcome doubt. They will overcome unbelief. They will overcome fear. They will overcome poverty. They will overcome all these things.
Amen.
They will mount up and go over. Amen.
Amen.
They shall run, and they will not get weary. They shall walk, and they will not faint. You will not lose your faith when you walk with Jesus. But that faith will grow stronger and stronger and stronger every day. Amen. Now, those of you that I prayed for here, I want those of you that see a difference in your eyesight to raise your hands. If you see a difference, raise your hand. If you don't, keep your hands down. All right, those two that received a difference, back out. All right. I rebuke the spirit of doubt and unbelief right now in the name of Jesus. And I command spirits of blindness to leave in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, touch these eyes in the name of Jesus and heal them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, does anybody see a difference in their eyesight? Anybody? You do? All right. Praise the Lord. Kim, you see any difference in your eyesight? None at all. Robin, the same? Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Marianne. Read something. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the blindness and the blurriness in the name of Jesus. Command it to be healed in Jesus' name. We'll stand over there. George, come here. What's the matter with your eyesight? You're nearsighted. All right. Now, how do you know if you're nearsighted? Can't read. Okay, is everything blurry with your glasses off? In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Now, how's it look? The same. All right, stand over there. What's the matter with your eyes? Same thing as him? All right. And you got your glasses on, you can see. Take them off. Now, how's it all look? Same as before without the glasses. Huh? It's blurry? Is it blurry? All right. In the name of Jesus. Correct the eyes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now look around. What do you see? It's the same. Let me stand over there. You? What's the matter with your eyes? You got cataracts in both eyes. Okay. I rebuke the cataracts.